It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, now, tomorrow we're going to have Stuart Rhodes is coming on. He's going to be speaking at the nullification event here at the Phoenix downtown Sheridan. And I got to point out that Sheridan was subsidized and financed by the city of Phoenix building hotels. Oh, man, where does it stop? Well, they're going to have the event down there, and it's going to include a lot of great speakers, Thomas Woods, Charles Goyette, Stuart Rhodes, and we got Sheriff Richard Mack on, you know, so this is going to be a very interesting thing. Now, and I told the sheriff, you know, hold on just a second here, because I want to read this, these three paragraphs from this one. It just goes right to where, you know, we're going. I mean, all this doesn't matter, you know, if, well, let's go ahead and talk about if. Here we go. Not only have governments from China to the United States committed themselves to a chess game meant to eke out relative advantages on a sinking ship, but they have positively rewarded those who are speeding the collapse. A simple cannibalistic economic rule now persists until a new system emerges. Economic manipulation, destruction, and extortion are simply more profitable, far more profitable, than good old-fashioned value creation. Disaster capitalism will be pursued full force. Whether a country is communist or capitalist, authoritarian or marginally democratic, no longer matters. Citizens globally have been made to be the pawns and patsies of a universal financial Ponzi scheme that can only end in carnage. Who cares if this ensures debt peonage for the world and likely mass austerity, suffering, and shortages? There's a buck to be made. Who cares if my own children will be choking on the garbage I spewed into the financial air and water system? I'm rich. When morality, reason, and sovereignty collapse together, we are left with outright anarchy in everything but name. This is a reality so uncomfortable that hundreds of trillions of dollars more of citizen retirement savings and other assets are likely to be tragically liquidated, trying to regain stability and finance the lean times in the hopes of the promised upturn. Now, let me tell you what this means. It's done. It's over. Here it comes. What they're going to do is they're going to keep financing the future, the promise on the kids' backs, on children yet born, on the promise that we're going to pay it off later. When things get better later, all this spending and debt that we had now, well, we just need a little bit more spending than debt, and then things will, you know, start to, you know, come back, and we'll be all good, and we'll pay it off later. When has that ever happened? They just keep pushing it down further. They get another 5, another 10 years, another election cycle. It keeps building to the point that you cannot get enough income in to pay the interest. When that happens, you're done. It's done. 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 It's so freaking done. And all this deck chair arranging on the Titanic, all this other stuff that's going on is just a waste of time. We are already in an anarchy That is, it's a chaos. Heck, even anarchy self-orders. You know, we're in this you can't predict anything because there's people that have the power, the levers, and the rings of power that keep changing the rules all the time. And the rules are what? Bad guys keep getting bailed out. Poor people's got to pay for it. You know, this is, so you think we're under some kind of rule? Well, here comes the nullification event. We have Sheriff Richard Mack on, good friend, known each other a long time. We've been activists together for, you know, coming up to almost 20 years. And I'm telling you, you know, he's been through it too. And my concern is this. If we are going to trade one leader, one guy that happens to, you know, pull the Excalibur from the rock and say, no, not you. We got another anointed guy over here that's going to represent me. Well, what have we gained? And the difference is what? How are we going to prevent the exact same thing from happening to us again? Whether it's a communist government, capital, whatever the heck they want to call it, I vote a nonist. And if I don't have the option of voting none of the above, then what kind of option was it? I get to vote how I'm going to be ruled, not that I don't want to be ruled. Sheriff Mack, give me what fur, man.
Well, Ernie, you know darn well I cannot disagree with that. The point, I believe, of state nullification is the same that's expressed in my lawsuit and the same example of me suing the federal government in the first place. I have learned that I should have never have sued. In all my studies and even reading the case and studying state sovereignty and the responsibilities of local governments and local officials, is our duty to tell the federal government and the state government, you will not come in here and abuse the rights of our citizens. You will not. IRS is the easiest one to pick on, and you and I have picked on the IRS for a number of years, but they're easy. They're an easy target because they're such a mafioso Gestapo organization. It therefore becomes the responsibility, because of the principles of state nullification, it becomes the responsibility of each individual in government at the local level to protect the rights of the citizen. Now, let me ask you this question. In the very first page of my book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope, and by the way, the reason I should not have filed against the Clinton administration on the Brady bills, I should have just said no. And I should have got a bunch of other sheriffs to stand up and do that with me. At the time, there was no other sheriff in Arizona who wanted to join with me. Not one, not anybody. Sheriff Dupnik was there at the time. Of course, that's a joke. Sheriff Arpaio patted me on the back, said he wouldn't be joining. Nobody joined. Even the ones that were more vociferous in their dislike of the Brady Bill, none of them wanted to join a lawsuit or a movement to stop it. They all acquiesced, and that's just the typical problem with government across our country. Everybody thinks you have to go along. Well, I'm here to tell you that is the biggest crock of crap there ever was. We do not have to go along. The federal government is not our boss. The state government is not our boss. Freedom is our boss, and that is what we have to uphold and defend. Freedom has got to be what we're after in law enforcement, in the executive branch, and that's law enforcement, judicial branch, and the legislative branch. When the judges and the legislatures no longer support freedom, then the executive branch or local officials or even the people must oppose it. But the question I have for you, Ernie, is the same question posed by Thomas Jefferson on the very first page of my book. When all government shall be drawn to Washington or Phoenix as the center of all power, it will render powerless the checks provided and become as venal and oppressive as the government from which we separated. My question is, to whom can the poor little guy turn to for peace, safety, and protection and freedom when government becomes venal and oppressive?
That will have to wait until after the break. But I am certain I can think of something to say, and I'll be right back with it in answer to Sheriff Mack's query. You know, when the little guy has nowhere to turn for defense of his individual rights, what happens? We're going to talk about it when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit. And I bet it has something to do with declaring your independence. We'll be right back.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Oh, the heat is on. It's on me here by Sheriff Richard Mack here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, IA, on the radio here on LRN.FM and around the country. You know, I'll go ahead and let you repeat your question to me so we can get it clear so I can, you know, I had a whole 3 minutes to write them down, man. I'm all ready for you. Go.
Okay. When government becomes venal and oppressive, to whom can the people, especially the little guy, turn to for peace, safety, protection, and freedom? To have somebody on his side, where can he turn? Is there something in the Constitution that allows for a check and balance when that happens? Or is there a mechanism at all in government at any level that provides for that remedy?
Okay.
Have at it.
Now, this is my question. Is it a requirement that there has to be someone?
It would be nice. I don't know.
Yeah,
if it's,
see, but your question presupposes that I have to have some entity for me to turn to. You know, right. It's you already enslaved me. I haven't even had a chance to, you know, just vote none and just leave or do anything. I have to have some entity.
I'm just saying, when government becomes oppressive, when you are being attacked, when your home is being confiscated by the IRS, do you want somebody there to help you or not?
Well, I want to have the option to have none, and certainly advocate for it. Now, let me go ahead and explain, and you'll understand my point. Okay. Now, there is, you know, the question is, when the little guy is oppressed by the collective somebody out there or whatever threat, you know, who do they turn to? Well, in the past, it was always, you know, say you're out in the Lone Prairie on the Wild West. Well, it wasn't as wild as they would make out, but you have the shopkeeper. And you got, here comes the ranch hands, they're in and whooping it up, and the gunslingers, and they go, you know what, we're better off if we have, we privately fund a sheriff, we get Sheriff Mac come in here and take care of business. Well, that works out pretty well, and goes, and they're going, you know, we're tired of paying for this, and everybody else gets the benefit of it. You know, everybody else should have to, you know, pay for it a little bit too, and we'll tax them, or fees, or whatever, and then all of a sudden, now you got a government, all right? Well, then it's always to the benefit of, you know, certain people, how this government protects against these bad guys, to the point that then the sheriff and the government itself becomes the oppressor. Well, then you got to have somebody else to turn to. Now, who do we turn to? I mean, it just kind of feeds on itself. And what I'm advocating is that I don't have to advocate for another entity, you know, and that's why, you know, the libertarian philosophy is so unique in that it says the prime directive is I do not advocate. Didn't say you got to do it or not do it. That's not even the point. I do not advocate for initiation of force or fraud for political, social, or economic gain. I do not advocate. So I'm never going to advocate for there to be another entity to go after that entity. I'm not going to advocate for that. Now, if I use it or I voluntarily combine my efforts with someone else and do that, you know, fine. But libertarianism is about a means to an end to deserve the freedom that you seek. You do not use initiation of force or fraud. I do not advocate initiation of force or fraud. So don't advocate that.
But you and I both know that we have a mafia government going on. Okay, so what do we do about it?
That's the point I'm getting to, Richard. You know, I do not advocate for initiation of force or fraud. Now, the goal that you get, now you say, well, how are you going to get your freedom? How are you going to impose freedom? How are you going to, you know, get a barrel of a gun and give somebody freedom or something? You're not. You know, the goal, individuals make up their own goals. That's what freedom is. I don't care what you do with your freedom. That's what freedom is. Go be free and stupid and do whatever the heck you want. I don't care. I am not advocating for what people do with their freedom. It is the method by which they would be able to be free. So there's a difference there.
But you got to come back to the real world. We don't live in a free world. We do not live in a free society. We do not live in a free country. And my question is, do we have any kind of remedy for that problem?
Rebellion Revolution, resistance, is always an individual decision, not a collective one. You have somebody, you remember in the 90s, all these, field marshal, general, major, militia guys going, and my people, and we're once more into the breach kind of thing. And they're sitting there going, my guys, and we're going, and here we go, and let's go, kill, or whatever the heck they wanted to do. And I'm going, that's not how it's going to be. It's going to be individuals making individual decisions individually.
Okay, that's fine. We don't live in that world. You're talking about the libertarian utopia and wonderful place. We don't live in that. So now tell me second best alternative.
That's the only way it is. It always is an individual making an individual decision for whatever. And this is the problem that I have with a lot of these efforts. And we've gone through these cycles, and you and I both have. And I'm telling you, it always comes down to there is some group collective that is saying, get on the list. We're going to go together. There's strength in numbers. And we're going to go demand, require, request, file suit, march on, do whatever it is in the name of this group. And then the other issues start getting overlapped. And, not that one. Your guys are talking about drugs. We need more guns and machine. We need more of this and less of that. It's just a collective. And if you do it.
Wait. In all of your wonderful utopian society, no force in anything. So when the IRS comes in to steal your home tomorrow, you don't want the county sheriff to stop them. You don't want the county sheriff to say, in the name of freedom and in the name of America, you will not do that here again, or I will come after you.
I want this one thing, the ability to be able to advocate for a system that would never have a sheriff, an IRS, a government that was in the capacity to be able to take it in the first place. And once you start down that road, that's exactly who's going to pay for the sheriff. How are you going to collect the funds? You see my point? It's always you're creating system.
Ernie. I get that. And everybody on your show here listening today would love to live in that society. But right now, we have a bunch of thieves and corrupt officials that need to be stopped. And
they're never going to be stopped by us begging for them, just another level. We're begging for it again.
Okay, but I'm not saying to beg anything. I'm saying that we got together and we said, okay, we're going to live in this. We're going to live in Safford, Arizona. We're going to live here, and we're going to respect each other's freedom, and we're not going to do anything. And then here comes this governmental entity from Washington, D.C., and so we say, okay, collectively, we're hiring this sheriff, and he's going to stand up for our rights. And he's going to nullify when the government goes too far, and he's going to stand in the way for us and for freedom and for America, and so we don't have to grab our guns every time something happens. And not only that, but it can happen for the one individual.
Okay, when we come back,
one little guy.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about that very thing because, it's always, do I have to advocate for hiring this one sheriff? It's a government thing. We took money from people to pay for it. Or if I can just hire a hitman, or I just be my own hitman. I mean, think about it. How much collectivism do I have to oppose collectivism? Will it ever happen that way? Because we're already living in anarchy. We'll be right back.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Fight for here and clear your independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and my special guest and good friend, Sheriff Richard Mack. Yeah, I'm, that's what we're going to find out. What are we fighting for? I got a clip before we get back our conversation with Sheriff Mack that kind of makes my point. There's always going to be the advocacy for, a good government. We need, the lever of power, the ring of power. We've got, the good guys. If we just had the good guys in charge, then it would be all good.
Take it.
No further.
You must take it.
You cannot offer me this ring.
I'm giving it to you.
Don't tempt me, Frodo. I dare not take it. Not even to keep it safe. Understand, Frodo. I would use this ring from a desire to do good. But through me, it would wield a power too great and terrible to imagine.
But it cannot stay in the Shire.
No. No, it can't.
What must I do?
Yeah, what must I do? You know, how about not advocate for rings? And I'm just, you know, it's always, that. Yes, it's a bad ring. They're bad. They're bad guys wearing the ring. So we need good guys wearing the ring, a different ring, a different lever. But it's always about somebody ruling people with the ring. So until we evolve past this concept that we need to be having somebody anointed by a pope, somebody that, you know, comes from on high and wears a crown of, or pulls Excalibur from a stone, or some kind of something that gives them some kind of legitimacy that's made up often for them to rule me. Until we evolve past that, we will repeat the same thing over and over and over, and I won't be part of it. Just saying. So,
well, okay. First of all, I think one of your premises is hugely mistaken. You say we're living in anarchy. I say we're living in under complete tyranny, and there's, a big difference. The chaos that has been caused by big government and corrupt government. We're not in trouble, Ernie, and I've said this on your show before. We're not in trouble because we're following the Constitution too closely. I believe in the Constitution. I believe that it is a very libertarian ideal. And the government officials who have lied to us to be involved in government are the ones that have destroyed this. I don't think there's a problem with living in a community and saying, these are our rights, these are our properties, and we're going to hire the sheriff to protect that, either from criminals or from government, which are competitors in the same game. I don't think it's a bad idea that, first of all, I have the right to protect what's mine. I have a right to protect my property and my body and my family. Because I have somebody else that I've hired to help do that, I don't think that creates a problem, or I don't think it creates tyranny, and I don't think it creates...
Until you come to me with a gun to my forehead to make me help you pay for it.
Well, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think it's my choice to create that system. And I think that most of our government workers should be working for free, quite honestly, including the sheriff. That's fine with me, too. At the time that I was sheriff, I probably couldn't afford it to do it for free, but I could see a process where I could do it now. And I would do it voluntarily. And I think the part of the problem is that money has taken over our government. And you just follow the money, and you're going to follow the criminals, and you're going to follow what happens. I don't care if they're governmental criminals or street criminals. And government has always said, well, we will protect you from the street criminal, and it turns out that you are correct, Ernie. Government has become more oppressive and criminal than the street criminals they said they were going to protect us from. That is my problem. And you and I are standing together and fighting that problem. And it is a horrific problem. And we do have complete tyranny in this country. We are completely run and managed and dictated by a democratic dictatorship in this country. And I am dedicating my life to stop it. And yes, I do believe that the state of Arizona has the responsibility and the duty to tell the federal government to get off my back. And that if that government therefore becomes too much, the local government has the responsibility to tell the same thing to the state government. And the state and local government together should interpose themselves on my behalf to keep the federal government off my back, off my property, and out of my life.
This one article that I read, the last paragraph where it said, and this is what I meant by we're already in anarchy, when morality, reason, and sovereignty collapse together, we are left with outright anarchy in everything but name. we have lost any kind of morality when it comes to government. There is no reason. Sovereignty means nothing. You know, so to think that we're not already in a state of anarchy now is to be, I don't know, blind. You know, we have the court system just makes it up as they go along, be it, you know, foreclosures or paperwork requirements or sovereignty of individuals, IRS. I mean, because I can't even, you know, pick an issue without giving example after example and referencing dozens of radio shows I've done with experts all over the country and the world, demonstrating just how jacked up, unconstitutional, and violation of not only the letter and spirit of the law, but they just make it up without any law. They just do it because they got a big freaking gun and say they can. And they go, well, we just call it the Commerce Clause or something. So I'm going, this is already done. To think, well, you know, anarchy would really, what do you mean? How it's going to be worse what? It gives them legitimacy of the shiny badge and the uniform and the always available gun to my forehead that now I'm saying the very government that we have that's supposed to protect us from anarchy, this government is what's promoting it, protecting it, shielding it, allowing it, and financing it, financing it. That's my point.
Well, I think we might be maybe arguing semantics, but I believe the two choices between complete tyranny and anarchy, I would choose anarchy any day, and that would be no law, that would be no government. Nobody's telling me what to do. And there would be no government, absolutely none. And you even suggested that complete anarchy finds a way to take care of itself. And
I don't have organized, financed, jackbooted thugs with sonic weapons and railguns beating the crap out of me using the collective money of. I mean, you see my point?
Yes, I do, exactly. And I still believe that one of the best answers that we've come up with in the past couple of years is state nullification and county nullification and sheriff nullification and jury nullification. That we get back to the what you alluded to earlier is that the people are in charge. This is our government. I believe the best way to rebel and the best way to have a revolution is to keep that peaceful and that we actually act accordingly and that we don't have a call to arms and that that doesn't necessarily become our last resort. With the frustration that we are experiencing with our criminal government today. I want to be able to feel peaceful and know that I'm being not being attacked by my own government.
I don't see...
We can't live that way. Live that way, Ernie. We can't.
No, we won't keep breathing in and out very long, I can tell you that.
Exactly.
I don't see a benefit in an armed rebellion.
I don't either.
I see benefit in, you know, defending yourself. I mean, if somebody wants to stop you from breathing in and out sitting in your living room, I vote that I get to keep breathing in and out, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, but the thing is, to think that there should be some kind of a armed rebellion, hell, that's what they want.
They do.
They'd love for
us.
That.
They do want us to be that stupid. Yeah.
So I'm advocating that at least, I don't advocate for a ruler or someone to speak in my name or to make some decision for me that's going to be imposed upon me by a collective. I can't do that. I can't. I've been at this too long to understand that sends you down the dark path that I don't want to go. We'll be right back.
Roads? It's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Yeah, what's that mission? You know, I'm just wanting to get out of the matrix. This mindset, this thought process, this idea that we're the only species on the planet that has to be, I don't know, organized from, you know, a false entity. I mean, at least in the animal kingdom, they put a crown on the queen bee or something. I mean, you know, now it's just we create these things on our own. And what is the Matrix? You know, what are we talking about?
Wanted to know what the Matrix is, Neo. This is the construct. It's our loading program.
This isn't real.
What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, what you can taste and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain. This is the world that you know. The world as it was at the end of the 20th century. It exists now only as part of a neural interactive simulation that we call the Matrix. You've been living in a dream world, Neo. This is the world as it exists today.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
What is the Matrix? Control. The Matrix is a computer-generated dream world, built to keep us under control in order to change a human being.
No. I don't believe it. It's not possible.
I didn't say it would be easy, Neo. I just said it would be the truth.
Stop! Let me out! Let me out! I want out!
Yeah, you want out of what? The Matrix. It's just government is the mate. It's just this dream world. It's just generated mindset that they put you in to think that you have to have it. If you don't have it, then you won't have anything. And not having anything controlling people would be not having anything controlling people. And what the heck will we do then? I'm going, wow. That's why I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of it. We're not afraid. I always play that opening scene in at the beginning of the show because I just want to emphasize I'm not afraid of not having controls and rules and boundaries. I'm not afraid. Well, we're going to be having an event here this Saturday, day after tomorrow, where Sheriff Richard Mack is going to be one of the speakers, and they're going to demonstrate a little chutzpah and say we're not afraid of going up against the big matrix. We're just going to advocate, I don't know, using smaller matrices to beat them up with or something. So I want to go ahead and let's talk about it. You know, what is the advocacy that you're going to have, Richard, and how do you think it's going to play out?
Well, first of all, my advocacy is for smaller government and getting government out of our lives, and I do believe in the Declaration of Independence where it says the only purpose for government is to protect our life, liberty, and property. Otherwise, we don't need government, and so government would be extremely small in that case. I believe that if you have a society, there's always going to be criminals that are going to want to do something bad to you or against you. Collectively, I think we have the right to say, hey, I want this guy to be in charge of protecting me from those people. Right now, the greatest threat to our God-given constitutional American liberty and our own lives and liberty and property is our own government. And so I would expect the person that I've hired locally, and I've served in that position, to protect my life, liberty, and property, and to be on my side to do that, to be collectively on the people's side and on the individual side, the little guy's side. And that's what I advocate. And I believe that the federal government has gone way too far, and there is a mechanism to keep them in check, and it's called state sovereignty. It's also called individual sovereignty, and it's also called local autonomy. And we can nullify that. And now I'm reading an email from a friend who said that a David Gray Adler, a constitutional scholar who directs the University of Idaho's McClure Center, said this, and this is a quote from Adler, "There's nothing in the Constitution to suggest that the states are superior to the federal government," Adler said. "We have a long string of Supreme Court decisions that reject their theory." This is a constitutional scholar. Well, anybody in Idaho listening to this program, will you please tell David Gray Adler for me that he should quit his job and that he is a fool and he is ignorant? And ask him to read the Lopez decision of recent years. Ask him to read the Mack Prince case of recent years. Ask him to read the 10th Amendment to the Constitution that absolutely outlaws any laws by the federal government outside Article 1, Section 8, and that any power not delegated to the United States belongs to the people or to the states, and that the states therefore become much more powerful than the federal government if you know and understand state sovereignty and the principles of dual sovereignty, and that the federal government is very impotent, and that was the purpose of the entire Constitution was to create an impotent federal government. So these are the things that we're going to discuss this Saturday. And I do believe in the nullification process because I think it's the most immediate way to get the federal government off our backs and to put them back in Washington, D.C., where they only have jurisdiction, and we will let them play all they want to in Washington, D.C., because that's the only place they have any authority. So the Nullify Now rally is in Phoenix this Saturday. I am speaking with a lot of other great patriots, Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers, and Gary Johnson, who used to be governor in New Mexico, and he issued more vetoes while he was governor than all the other governors in New Mexico history. And
all the other governors in the country combined.
Yeah,
I mean, he was like
exactly.
700 and something. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. So then in Cincinnati, the Nullify Now rally will be March 5th. I hope to be there too. And then they go on to New Hampshire and then Minnesota and then Austin, Texas. And I think this is great. I think it's what people need to hear. And this guy like Adler in Idaho, I'd be happy to spend my own money and come up there and debate him. Here he is, a constitutional scholar, and completely doesn't know and understand the Constitution or the Bill of Rights, nor has he seen any recent decision that has supported state sovereignty. So I would debate him or anybody else about that issue. The Constitution is still the supreme law of the land. I think we ought to give it a chance and actually use it and put it in place and have local officials especially that will keep their oaths of office, stand by the Constitution, regardless of who the perpetrator against the Constitution is. And I believe that if we actually did, as Jefferson said, bind our politicians down with the chains of the Constitution, that I think we'd actually have that society you are hoping for.
Well, you know, my argument is as you study history and you actually read what a lot of these guys, especially Hamilton, you know, he's kind of the guy that got this Constitution thing going. Because
he was a big government guy. He wanted a central government.
And yes.
But the Founding Fathers shot him down. And Hamilton was...
He got what he wanted.
Well, maybe... Well, now he has. But I think even Hamilton would say, man, this isn't what I said. This isn't what I wanted. This is what I asked for at all.
The point that I'm making is that this is always the natural result of any kind of a collective power that has the ability and certainly the emotional and intellectual sanction from the governed, you know, to do these kinds of things. Once you give them the power to tax and the power to regulate, the power. Because if you look at the Constitution, the first time I just read it straight through, you know, I was like 88, 89. I was 28 years old about, and I read it, and it wasn't until I got to, I think it was like the 14th Amendment, where it's like, you can't have any rule or right or privilege, or it doesn't equally apply to everybody. And I'm going, okay, well, that's like the first sense I've made of the whole thing. I mean, you had, you know, the Bill of Rights and so on, of course. But, you know, it wasn't until I got to the 14th Amendment that I found the biggest contradiction of the whole thing. The entire laws are always to benefit somebody over somebody else. That was the whole point. They had the power of eminent domain. The government gets to decide what they want to take. The power to tax. The power to regulate commerce. If I was Lord God King Bufu of all I surveyed, what else would I want? I mean, I'm going, wow, man, this is not good. So I'm really, I just have this aversion to advocating for rule of anybody, by anybody, or anything, except self-rule. And if it's not there to support, that's why I'm such a big advocate of Jefferson's Declaration of Independence. It was very clear what the role of government was. If it is contradictory to defense of individual rights, it's time to alter or abolish. And I say we're way past that time. I just do it as an individual. Hey, thanks for coming on, Richard. We look forward to seeing you this weekend.
Thanks a lot, Ernie. See you soon.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readersoffreedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readersoffreedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured.